Marquette to Monroe. You're listening to the Steve Gruber Show on MTN, the Michigan Talk Network.
You know, one of the things that struck me here during the blink of an eye brief government shutdown was the term non-essential employees. Non-essential employees would be sent home, but essential employees get to stay. Well, if they're not essential, why are they there? Why are we paying for non? I mean, if it's not critical, why? What are we doing? My next guest, my good friend, Dr. Richard Ebling, BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise and Leadership at the Citadel. Doctor, welcome back.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me back on.
So seriously, if we don't need these people, what are we paying for?
Well, we're paying for a lot of activities that if one could reanimate the founding fathers of our country and ask them what are the essential functions of the federal government, I think they would say that probably 80 to 90% of those currently employed by Uncle Sam are non-essential. Is there anything in the Constitution about the government having a Department of Education, health, housing, welfare, redistribution of wealth such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare? No. So basically, all of these people are performing functions that, in terms of the traditional notion of a constitutional limited government designed to protect the rights of the individuals to freely and peacefully live their lives and market activities, these are non-essential people. Another way of thinking about this, if I can just sort of add for a second, is that let us suppose that these people had been just staying home because the shutdown had continued, let's say, into that full week. Let me suggest is that with those people home, those bureaucrats are not the regulatory locusts that they tend to be. Even though we're paying them, they would be at least leaving us alone. Think of the protection racket, the extortionist who says, well, if you give me my weekly check, nothing's going to happen to you or your business.
I'll protect you.
At least they, you pay them, they at least leave you alone. So in a sense, it would be better for them to be on furlough. It's a nuisance to have to pay the taxes for the back income that they're going to eventually be paid when it ends. But at least for that period of time, they're staying at home and they're not interfering in your personal market and social activities.
I'm quite happy with the term regulatory locusts. Because that pleases me, because let's be honest, what does government build? Government builds government. Government does not create wealth or, you know, create opportunity. Government builds government. That's been my experience. I think that's fair to say. And they come and take away the good works of other people like you and I or whoever else goes to work any given day. I mean, that's just the way it is, Doctor. As you look at the first year of the Trump administration, what accomplishments do you see when it comes to reducing regulation and expanding the government? I see a lot of positives here. The president gets in his own way of messaging oftentimes, but in the real world, a lot of regulations have been backed off. The economy seems to be improving. It seems to be a fairly positive track we've headed down.
There have been a number of pathways that the administration has followed over the last 12 months that, from a more competitive enterprise perspective, have to be considered as in the right or positive direction. Certainly the tax cut that was passed, certainly the reduction of X number of old regulations if any federal bureau or agency is going to implement a new regulation, the freeing up of the rather rigid and straitjacketed control of land use by federal authorities in various ways. All of these things are obviously very pro-business. The fundamental problem, however, remains is that while it's good to lower taxes and reduce regulation, the real burden of the federal government is all that it spends, either through whatever it collects in taxes, and what it ends up siphoning off the financial markets to cover its deficit spending. We're looking at federal budgets now of more than $4 trillion each year. Somehow, the conservatives and those who advocate limited government have to develop a message, and one that is appealing and that the people will believe is right, to rein in this unending stream of big government spending. At the end of the day, that is the albatross around the neck of the country.
How many real conservatives are left, though, when you look at, you know, fiscal hawks, if you will, I mean, there's a few, but they're greatly outnumbered because I don't care if the Republicans or Democrats, many of these folks are, they're right up to the trough like everybody else.
Well, that's the problem, that politicians run on offering their constituents goodies at other people's expense. That is, tell you what I'm going to do for you and all with other people's money.
Buying
but
votes.
But the fact is there is a core group of people who still understand American traditionalism. Well, if nothing, nobody else, you, me, and I assume a good number of your listeners. So, but of course, the fact is there is that core who believe the traditional American founding principles of individual freedom, limited government, free markets, and rule of law. And if we can just build upon that, it's never too late.
Well, you know, I agree with that. Here's the problem we face, though. Whether it's Social Security or pick your program, the chance of getting those rooted out and reduced in size is not likely. But I think if there's any president who has the nerve to go after it, this would be the one. Yeah, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go after these programs because he seems to be less concerned than previous politicians or those going forward. I'll give you the last word, Doctor.
Well, the key issue here is both to reduce the burden and spending of government, but the next fundamentally important step is the abolition of government bureaus, agencies, and departments that are not in the original Constitution and for which the government should not be involved in our lives. Until that is done, a separation of government from most market activities, this is always going to be a monster lurking under the bed.
You know, there's no question about that. Dr. Richard Ebling, always a pleasure. BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel. Sir, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Always a pleasure. This part of the program brought to you by Wolverine Water Systems, Michigan's premier water treatment company, serving Michigan since 1947. They're locally owned and operated, and they will deliver to you. Get your free water test today by going to WolverineWaterSystems.com. That's WolverineWaterSystems.com. Tell them Steve sent you. It's the Steve Gruber Show.